Scott Wells for the Magic Word, and I'm here today with Chris Randall from Las Vegas. How you doing, Chris?
Excellent. How are you?
Doing fine, thank you. And he's here in Houston just wrapping up a 10-city tour across the U.S. How's it been going on the tour?
It is quite an adventure. Everything from below zero in Chicago to beautiful weather here in Texas to staying up all night with Chip Romero. So
he can keep you awake. He's got quite a collection, too.
Amazing
Doug Henning
collection.
Stuff and all that. Anything you want.
Pendragons, Doug Henning, Blackstone's Birdcage. Yeah, it's great.
One of the things that you had talked about at the lecture I thought was very fascinating was your experience on the Bill and Lemon. I mean, you had taken about an hour of the lecture in talking about that, but I think it was fantastic. You know, I agree with you that it is a reputation-making trick and something that is perhaps one of the best tricks of all time, and you've really solved a lot of problems with that.
It's a trick I started pretty much my whole life. My father loved the trick and started with the serial numbers, and then throughout the years, anytime a new Bill and Lemon came out, I bought it, from Scott Alexander's Final Answer to Igal Mishka, and just over 20 years of doing it, I think I've solved all the problems with the new version, Inception, which comes out in a month, so... I love the trick.
Inception is the name
Inception.
Of your DVD. Kind of like the movie.
So it's putting something into something else, yeah.
Gotcha, okay.
I'm a giant Leo fan, so.
That was an awesome movie, by the way, too. By the way, lunch was good. I have to apologize for the background noise. We were here in Torchy's Tacos in Houston, which was pretty good, by the way.
It was excellent, yeah.
Yeah. Of course, I always have to mention food on my broadcast over here. So, I also want to talk to you about, so you are living in Las Vegas. You're from Las Vegas then originally, is that
born
right?
Born and raised, yeah, okay. One of the few.
One of the few. Now, what did it seem like to you when all the magicians started moving into town, moving from L.A. to Vegas?
They all moved back pretty quickly. But everyone wanted to try their own Vegas show. And that's when acts used to actually get paid to do a show. Now in Las Vegas, anybody can have a show, just four wall of room. And it's a different world now. But most people come, they try it for a year, and then they move immediately back to their hometown.
Now, were you part of the World's Greatest Magic with Kevin James? And
I worked there for 5 years. I was the opening act. I did close-up, and I assisted all the magicians in the show. And so it really was what helped me develop an act, watching Joseph Gabriel, the Majestics, and Kevin James, and picking and choosing from their experience how to develop my own act. And pretty much the 10-minute act that I have now is based on all of their advice.
It was the whole idea of the World's Greatest Magic, not necessarily to feature any one magician, but to kind of rotate people in and out?
Yeah. It started with a cast that we were going to keep permanently, but... You know, most of these guys were top-name acts, so a lot of other big gigs would come in. So we would replace, you know, Joseph with Dan Sperry, the Majestics with Joseph doing Illusions, or we rotated a lot of acts in. And it was just fun to have out-of-town guys come in for 2 weeks, like John Carney doing Mr. Misto. We had we gave a FISM award at the 2006 FISM for a contract in Las Vegas, which we gave to Ungyul Lee of Korea. So we had him for a month. And it really made a few people's careers, especially Dan Sperry. So,
because didn't you say that you had helped Dan move to Vegas or something? Or
I competed at the IBM in Reno in 2005 or 4. And when I got back to World's Greatest, Kevin James asked me... you know, did I win? Which I did not. Arthur Trace won. But he said, was the winner, should we hire the winner? I said, the winner was fantastic, but I thought this other guy would have been perfect for the show. The minute I saw Dan, I knew that he was really, really special. And so I pitched Dan to Kevin James. There was a spot coming up where Joseph Gabriel needed to switch to Illusions for a month. Dan came in, rocked the house, and moved to Vegas for 3 years. So, and now it's in New York City.
Now, also, was that a four-walled show initially, the World's Greatest Magic, the Greek Isles?
We started at the Sahara, being paid by the Sahara, and then Dick Feeney moved us over to the Greek Isles so the show could survive. The Sahara was... it was hard to keep that room going. And then we moved over to the Greek Isles. Dick Feeney bought out the room and just paid the acts. So the acts didn't have to four wall. We had a producer behind us. So it was never on the acts money. And then Just times, you know, got tough, and then a lot of the acts had other projects, so the show split up.
That's what I heard. It kind of just fizzled out towards the end. It seemed like that anybody who wanted to come to Vegas and say they wanted to work a showroom, they'd let you come and work for free or something. Is that true?
No, they had a contract thing at the end where you could pay Dick Feeney to come
to work.
You had to pay him to
work.
Only one person took him up on that. So, but it was everybody had so much going on at the end. There is a version of the World's Greatest Magic right now in Sydney, Australia, The Illusionist.
Kevin James,
DeMare, Dan Sperry, Brett Daniels, and Jeff Hobson. And it look, really, the marketing on it looks brilliant. The run just ended 2 days ago, but I know it's going to, I think, Singapore and Japan next.
And today, by the way, is January 24th, 2012.
There you go.
Yeah. Now, again, you've been in Las Vegas for a long time, and you had worked at Houdini's for about a dozen years?
12 years, off and on, yeah. I was their poster boy for all the videos.
Yes.
When Gino came out with the vending machine thing.
Oh, sure.
I was the guy on the screen, and it was a great place to really get my chops down. Doing 8 pitches an hour, learning how to pitch a product, working thread all day, and really getting over my fear of talking to an audience and having a drunk crowd in Vegas and how to handle them. And it was really a great training ground for me.
And that place right there in New York at Houdini's, I mean, you were kind of in the, literally the Times Square of New York, of the Strip.
Yeah, that was, that's the shop that I was mostly at, was the New York or Caesars. My crowds would be so big I'd have to actually stand on the podium instead of stand behind the podium.
Wow. And mostly, like where it used to be years ago, Dave Williamson would pitch the Rocky Raccoon. You were pitching the UFO?
UFO and Delights.
And Delights, yeah.
Yeah, Delights UFO Rising Card is like the pitch you should do. It's the pitch that pretty much we were trained to do. And we took a lot of ideas from Magic Masters.
Right.
A lot of a Rising Card came from their ideas and their presentation. But I'd still pitch Rocky every once in a while, too.
Now, why did you stop working over there? You got to start doing street magic around the same time?
No, that's when the call from Kevin James came in to work here at World's Greatest. And then I started traveling the world with a lot of those acts. I went to Japan, Greece, pretty much Egypt, everywhere. And then started work for Joaquin Ayala again.
Now, tell me also, I understand you work at Fremont Street there in Vegas on a regular basis. Tell us a little bit about that.
It is the craziest performing environment in the world. I perform with about 100 different characters. Everything from Tupac Shakur to 4 sets of Kiss, Austin Powers, contortionists, jugglers, everything. So it's a very hard environment. Fremont Street is very cheap drinking, so people are very drunk. It used to be very dirty downtown, so there's still like a lot of homeless people around there. Jail is right behind the Golden Nugget. So it's a very crazy environment. I really want to pitch a reality show about these characters and me and what we have to go through to make money. But it's my chops are much better every day because of it.
And you tell me, I guess, that you, whenever you step away, you have to go get a bottle of water or go to the bathroom, you just pay some homeless guy.
Yeah, a homeless Steve I pay. I pay $2 every time I have to walk away from my table and go get more lemons or get a bottle of water.
Now, you do have a set place or kind of a corner where you work?
Yeah, mine is right in front of the Fremont Hotel. It's right across the street from the Four Queens. You'll see a cigar stand, and right to the left of it, you'll see either me or another fantastic magician, Adam Flowers, if you're there. And if you don't see me, you'll see a really big guy doing Fearson's floating cigarette. Probably the best floating cigarette you'll ever see. We're usually there. I'm usually later night, like 6 to 10. Adam kind of comes in 5 to 7, does like 2 hours and leaves.
Pretty much 7 nights a week?
5 nights a week. You burn out if you do 7.
You work over the weekends? So it has to be a big week. I mean, weekends.
Yeah, Friday, Saturday, Sunday I don't miss. And then I'll kind of pick the days based on weather. That's another thing in street magic people don't think about. If you have a week of bad weather, you're out of work for the week.
So. Yeah, but isn't that under the shelter of that light show?
It is, but the rain can still come through the dome.
Oh, can, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And people don't want to go out
when
it's raining, so you just got to save up for those days. It's something. The winter time is a really rough time. It's windy. It's cold. Your hands are getting cold when you're doing close-up magic.
Right, and people don't want to stand there.
They don't want to stand there, so your show really better be short.
Right. Tell me a couple of stories or highlights or something that comes to mind.
My favorite thing on the street is I have these homeless guys who watch my show, and I had a my little box I showed last night, a little fold-up black box. I had it full of, like, 30 lemons. I was on a mission to do, like, 8 hours of street magic, so I might even do, like, 30 shows today. So the guy watches my show once, and he sees me do the Bill and Lemon. He watches me do the show again, and he sees me do the Bill and Lemon. I turn around and set up some thread, and the guy grabs my box and goes running down the street because he thinks there's 30 lemons with $20 bills in it. I yell for the police. The police go on their bike. They get the guy. They bring the guy back with my box of lemons, and they say, do you want to press charges? I'm like, no. I think the story's funnier than me pressing charges, so I would have paid the guy to do it.
Yeah. Get some good press out of that. That'd be a good story.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah, exactly. So where do we go from here? What is
we have a day off today, San Antonio, then back to Vegas for another lecture, finishing up the Inception DVD, which will feature, it's shot on Fremont Street, and it'll feature some of the performers from Fremont Street. The Rick James, the Tupac, everybody, they're all going to be involved in the project. Also, a really cool interview with Scott Alexander at the end of it, talking about our history of Bill and Lemon. And he was kind of the guy who watched my old Bill and Lemon routine and geared me the right way to sign bills and hire bills and loading it and how to load it. I think other than me, Scott Alexander does Bill and Lemon more than anybody in the world and does a really fantastic version.
So 5 years from now, where do you see your, Chris Randall? Where will you be?
Probably not on the street anymore.
You got all the experience you need.
Yeah, I'm good. This is my last year, but I think my brain can't take it anymore. Just corporate events.
You're only
events.
26 or something. What are you?
30.
30.
I'm getting old. I think just private parties, just continuing to do this, magic conventions. Just as long as I can pay the bills doing magic, that's all that matters. As long as I don't have to go back to waiting tables or any regular job, I'm happy.
Not a regular job.
Not a
right.
regular
it's
job.
It's fun being a magician.
Yeah, I like making my own hours. And
follow your passion.
Yeah, do what you love. That's the secret to life.
That's right. Well, that says a lot right there, which leads me to my last question that I always like to ask my my guests, and that is, what is your magic word where you live life, whatever it is that you, how you, whether it's a magic word you use during a magic performance or whether it's a magic word you live by?
Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
It would be Vegas, yeah. It's I think it's the Vegas epitomizes. It's the heart. I love magic in Las Vegas more than anything in the world. I think the best thing about Las Vegas, about being an American, we live in a very free country. I think Vegas epitomizes that freedom. We can do pretty much what we want at whatever hour we want. It's a very, coming from Vegas, I think we're very spoiled to go to other cities where things close and we can't do pretty much what we want. And there's more rules. For Vegas, it's a free for all, and it's great.
Wow. Fantastic. Great advice. Well, thank you, Chris. I appreciate your time. I'm looking forward to seeing Inception when it comes out in a few months then, too.
Yep. Thank you.
Very good. That was Chris Ramp. And for Magic Word, this is Scotty out.
Hey, Scotty here again with just a quick message. If you enjoyed this podcast, then please register your approval by commenting or clicking in iTunes that you like the Magic Word. Never miss a thing by subscribing now to the RSS feed that will bring each episode straight to your iPhone or computer. You can also download the Magic Word app for the iPhone or iTouch that is updated with every new episode, picture, and video. This free app is not available through the iTunes store, but only through the Magic Word blog. Keep listening, learning, and enjoying. Scotty out.